Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Crowd Blunders. And Caleb, I'm not doing the sound effect this time.
Oh, man, I was really looking forward to it.
No, because I have bad news.
What's that?
We're still sponsored by Bad Ideas.
Ah.
Therefore, you need them when you need them the least.
Right,
Ugh,
right.
terrible. I just can't celebrate it anymore. I'm sorry. Yeah. But no, welcome guys. Episode 4. Today we are going to talk about something that I think it gets brought up with every campaign and whenever we talk to anybody, and this is probably the first thing on everyone's mind, right? When you go to create your crowdfunding campaign, and that is how to set your goal.
That's right. We are going to talk about how to set your goal on Kickstarter. And before we dive into it, for those of you who are new, my name is Caleb.
And I'm Alan.
And we both run a bunch of Kickstarters. So we don't have good advice, but we do have a lot of experience and we have a lot of stories about how we screwed up. And that's what we're here for.
Yeah. Hope you learn from our mistakes and don't listen to any of our advice.
All right.
Okay. I guess I'll start this one. My crowd blunder, whenever it came to actually setting my goal, it's kind of twofold, right? Because my first campaign, I was realistic, because who am I, right? Come out the gate, I don't have any skin in the game or anything like that. I only set my goal for $1,000, and we hit that. I think we ended up with like $2,000, something like that, for my first campaign, a little over. But I set my prices very low. Because I was scared to price anything. I felt like over $10, because for like one single issue, it was $8 with a really small amount of shipping. Keep in mind, guys, if you've listened to our previous episode on shipping, this was also the campaign where I didn't charge hardly anything for shipping. And I ate a lot of that cost, and especially when it came to international customers, because I charged them what you would normally charge American backers. So it was a miserable experience, but I was selling like, I only had two variant covers, so three covers altogether, the main and two variants, and I was only selling that for like $18. And it was going back and thinking about it, like, did I make the right decision early on to try to get the book in people's hands, or did I cost myself more in the long run, right? Because whenever people back stuff on Kickstarter, I think there's already the expectation of kind of how much you're going to pay per issue, because we're all independent, we're all funding this out of our own pockets, and we're trying to just make it. So that was my crowd blunder, was setting my goal versus how much I was charging.
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, mine is similar, but my first project, we've already talked about it on the show before, was a comic book that cost $17,000 to make. And I set the goal at $3,000 on Kickstarter. And the only reason that I even reached that goal, back in 2017, I was running my first Kickstarter. I didn't have a fan base. And I had a family member who donated $1,500.
So 50% of your goal.
50% of my goal was donated by a family member who, like, didn't care about my comic.
They didn't even do a tier, did they? They just did the pledge of support.
I think they did whatever the highest tier was and then added more money because they didn't fully understand how Kickstarter worked. Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't even surprise me if that family member has not even read the finished comic book. But that's not the point. It was very nice of them to do that. But the thing was that I set this goal really low, and even that was going to be tough for me to reach because I didn't have an audience, but the book cost so much. I ended up in debt for a long time over that book. And it ultimately, we've talked about this before, you got to start small and you got to start, you know, you got to have the expectation that you're not going to make money on the first few projects. But I had extreme opposite ends of that. I set the goal really low and the book costs a lot.
So we're going to get into this here coming up soon. But I do want to say this, because what you just said kind of sparked something. You can start small, but finish big. It's easier to do that rather than to start big and then you kind of finish small, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think so. But yeah, for sure. I think that you did the right thing when you were starting out, in that you just did one issue as your first Kickstarter. And so even if you didn't make enough money to break even on the project, or you charged too little or whatever, it's ultimately not going to hurt you as much as promising something huge.
Yeah.
And having to deliver on that while not having the money to deliver on it. And so I would definitely say that my blunder was dreaming too big, and then, you know, setting the goal too low. Also, you mentioned on your first Kickstarter, you didn't charge enough. On my first Kickstarter, because I was so paranoid about being able to reach even the small goal that I set the price back in 2017 for a 100-page graphic novel at $45, which, as someone with no fan base and nobody knew who I was, you know, that's a big ask. And prices have increased on Kickstarter, just like prices have increased for everything.
Yeah, inflation is a real thing, unfortunately.
Yeah, for sure. But back in 2017, charging $45 for a graphic novel from an unknown, untested author, I mean, it was very silly. So we both kind of set goals that were too low, and it's all part of the learning process. But as we've gone, as we've done more Kickstarters, you know, between, as I've mentioned on previous episodes, between the two of us, we've done over 20 Kickstarters, and we have honed in on what the right number is to set the goal at.
Yeah. Because like now I feel like both of us are pretty consistent. So let's kind of look at this from a new perspective, right? Because I think for someone that's already established and is kind of always hitting 100%, good for you, first off. Like, that's awesome. But, you know, what if you're new, right? There's no right answer, I don't feel like. We talked about this. It's more of a feeling. And I think that the number one thing I can tell anybody that's doing this, I mean, hell, even if you're experienced, right? Just be realistic with yourself. Because you can't come out the gate swinging with a really high amount, especially if you're new. I've seen a lot of campaigns, and we talked about this in the green room, that look like they kind of crawl across the finish line, right? Because no real following, the goal set really high, but they made an okay amount, but they're just still not at that goal yet because the goal's like $5,000.
Right.
So I think being able to be realistic with yourself and knowing too that what your goal is not what you're going to ultimately end with or what you're going to make for the whole campaign. It's like Kickstarter doesn't turn off as soon as you hit 100%.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I think that setting a goal, I mean, it's so complicated because there's so many factors behind it, but definitely on the other end of, like, you can set your goal too low, but then you can also set your goal too high, thinking this is the amount of money we've got to hit, and if we don't hit this amount of money, then it's not worth it to do. And some of that comes down to philosophy, because I have heard from some people, especially in the earlier days of Kickstarter, I've heard from people that are like, well, I'm going to set the amount of money that I need to be profitable on this project. And if I don't hit that, then it just wasn't meant to be. And I'm just going to move on with my life and not do it. And that, it really depends on how you're approaching Kickstarter, because personally, at this point, with a lot of my projects, I'm already so heavily invested in the project by the time that I hit go on the Kickstarter, that if that Kickstarter fails, then I'm eating a lot of costs. I'm making a bet on myself every time, but I'm reasonably confident.
So that's kind of what I was going to say, right? If I went into a project with having nothing done, then I guess not hitting my goal would be okay. But We don't do that. Like, I already have pages completed. I've already paid the team for it. They're already, like, you know, we're booked out, stuff like that. You know, yeah, I lost money, even just in the creative process for making the book on issue one of POCUS, but I'm happy that I, you know, I don't want to say I'm happy I lost money, but I'm happy I kept going with it, right? Because that's just a part of it. You go in risk versus reward. And yeah, I didn't make enough to cover the cost of the book and I had to do it out of my pocket, but it's helped out so much more in the long run.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that comes down to how are we using Kickstarter? What does Kickstarter mean? Is it a way to put an idea out in the world and ask people if they're interested in it, engage that interest, and then decide whether or not to make it based on whether or not your project funds? I think maybe when Kickstarter first started, that was sort of the intention of what the platform was for. But in a lot of ways, especially within the comics world, I think what a lot of us use it as is almost more of like a pre-order store.
Yeah.
And it just so happens that it's on this platform that is a very popular platform that has a built-in audience. But it's, you know, we're not proposing ideas that will take us years and years to get done and to deliver to backers. What we're a lot of times within comics, it's like within a year or less after they back the book that they're going to get those books in hand. And, you know, I don't know how other parts of Kickstarter work. I think maybe within like the video game sphere or like the technology sphere of Kickstarter, maybe it
Side
works
note,
a little different.
Yeah, I do want to say this. I have seen board games on Kickstarter and they seem like they always crush it, right?
Oh, yeah. Board games do really well. Board games also have a much longer delivery window. I've backed a lot of board games on Kickstarter because I'm a big board game guy. And usually when I back a Kickstarter for a board game, I'm like, well, you know,
I'll see it in a year or two.
Yeah. Honestly, I back it and forget it because I'm like, it'll be, you know, anywhere from 1 to 4 years. And then I'll get the thing in the mail and it'll feel like at that point that it's just free because it was so long ago that I spent the money, to be honest.
Yeah. No, dude, I get that because there's some books that I have received, like I backed, like, you know, 6 to 8 months ago and they finally show up. I'm like, oh, dude, I forgot I backed this thing.
Right, right.
I guess that that just shows the trust that Caleb and I have in the process, right?
Right. I mean, some people have horror stories about how they backed things and they never got them. And I, to my knowledge, unless there's just some Kickstarter that I just forgot about backing,
I'm pretty sure I've gotten everything.
Yeah, that's never happened to me. I've gotten everything I've backed on Kickstarter. And maybe it's because I sort of know what to look for in terms of red flags, but I have always gotten everything. But we're going down a rabbit hole here.
We are. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So setting your goal. So we talked about this, and this was advice that I received early on. And Caleb, I need you to tell me if you think that this holds any weight to also setting your goal. Does it matter? Let's say this is your first time you're launching a campaign. Does it matter that on that account specifically, that you have backed other books from other creators versus how many campaigns you've launched? Does that make sense?
Yeah. So basically the idea is if I go to Kickstarter and I look at a comic book and I see that right on the little profile section of the campaign page where it has the creator's profile, it says how many they've created and how many they've backed. And if it says they've created however many, and then it says they've backed 0 campaigns, as a creator, if I see that, I'm thinking, oh, this person doesn't participate in the Kickstarter community. They are only here to make money. But so that is actually advice that I have given people before, but I have some caveats to it because I think that that's a very creator-focused mindset, meaning I care about that.
But does the audience?
But yeah, because our target audience, frankly, is not other creators.
Yeah, we want other creators to read your book because, like, you know, the community is, like we talked before, the community's small, and you do want feedback from people that are your peers. You want to know what you're doing well, what you're not, and we'll get into that in another episode. But really, we want people that just want to read your book because they want the book.
Yeah, so the question is, do those people care if you've backed up the projects? And the answer is, I genuinely don't know. And that is something that, you know, maybe I should be asking my backers, like my email list, if they care about that. Personally, I've always felt that it's just a good look to have backed other projects. And also, I use Kickstarter as a consumer. So my best look into that is, like I said, the board game thing, because I don't make board games and I'm not a creator on the board game side of Kickstarter, but I back probably like 4 or 5 board games a year on Kickstarter. And I don't back those because I'm trying to get like some credit within the community or score social points or anything like that. I back those because I genuinely want them.
Right.
That hopefully is the mindset that your core audience has when they're backing your comic books on Kickstarter.
Yeah. See, you know, I'll get us back on. Like, I have 2 accounts, obviously. We have the one Kickstarter account. It's under me and my co-writer. And then I have my personal. And my personal has way more books backed, right? So it's just, it's one of those, I think, here nor there. But what do you think is the best advice for someone that is trying to set their goal? I think we have to be realistic again. And now this is something that I think that you talked about before we got on, and I would love for you to talk about it again in a little bit more length. When do you need to be funded? And I think that's a huge part for setting your goal.
Okay, so a few years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, maybe longer, a creator named Madeline Holly Rosing, who writes a book called The Boston Metaphysical Society, gave some advice and about crowdfunding. She actually wrote a book about it. But she said that if you are 33% funded by the end of day one, then odds are you will succeed. And I don't know if that advice originated with her or with someone else, because I've heard it from other people too. But that's when I was first starting on Kickstarter, that was a number that was bandied around a lot. It was like, are you 33% funded by the end of day one? Now, after having done 16 Kickstarter campaigns, what I'll say is that if you're 33% funded at the end of day one, you probably will fund, but it will be like just barely making it across the finish line.
Right. And that's, again, so that's setting your goal and setting it appropriately. I'm not telling you to set your goal for $50 or $100, right?
No, because so there is a line of thought that goes, if I set my goal crazy low, if I set my goal at $50 or $300 or something, even though I need $5,000, and I fund on the first day or within the first couple hours or whatever, and then it looks like I'm like crazy successful. And
it boosts me up in the algorithm and all this stuff. Like, I don't think that's the case, right?
Yeah, it's really hard to know. First of all, the Kickstarter algorithm is like a black box. We don't know
My most successful campaign was not a Projects We Love.
Right.
That was my first 5-digit campaign was just run of the mill, no Projects We Love, anything like that.
So I think that I think that there probably is something to the idea that if you fund early, you have backer confidence. They're like, oh, this is already funded, this is definitely going to happen. It's going to make you feel better as a creator, but
right.
The caveat to that is if you set your goal at $300 and you really need $5,000 and you fund on the first day, are you really going to feel better? Is that going to alleviate any of that anxiety, or is that only going to be alleviated like when you hit your imaginary goal that you have in your head?
Yeah.
And so there's a real balance between setting a goal that feels realistic and figuring out how much money you really need.
Because, you know, whenever it comes to especially promoting yourself, and now that's obviously a topic for that we could definitely go down a rabbit hole on. But when it comes to promoting yourself, and people know that they can tell it in your voice and everything like that, even your typing voice. It's so much easier to get excited about a project if you're funded with amount that you felt like was an okay amount to be funded with within the first day, two or three, right? Because then you can be excited. You can, you know, hey guys, I'm funded. Check to see what everyone is talking about. Like, you know, we're almost to our stretch goals. Keep this momentum going. Stuff like that. Rather than being, you know, 4 days away from the project ending and you're just like, help someone, you know?
Yeah. So, but I mean, if we're getting down to brass tacks about setting your goal, and, you know, I mean, this podcast is frankly not about brass tacks, but if I wanted to give some concrete specific advice about setting your goal, I would say, look at how much it costs to pay your artist and any other part of your creative team that you have involved, like a letterer or a colorist. Make a spreadsheet with exactly how much you're paying each of those people. Go on a printing website for whatever printer you're going to use.
Yep.
Do a mock order. Like Alan and I both use Comics Wellspring.
Yep.
You can go on there, or you can go on a website like Comic Impressions or RA Direct or whatever it is you're going to use.
Yeah, and I do want to go ahead and just say this. Granted, this will fall on deaf ears, but the site Mixem, that we use to print the hardback edition of Pocus Hocus Solus edition. Awesome. Incredible.
Okay.
And they did the same thing too. They even gave like shipping early too. Like you put in your address and everything.
There you go. So go figure out what you're going to use, or at least even if you don't end up going with that printer, find a couple of quotes for what you're going to need to print. Get all of your possible costs and put them into a spreadsheet so that you know as best as you can what you're going to have to spend. And then also figure out shipping. And just, I honestly, for shipping, what I would do is I would assume, I would always take a number that's higher than what you're going to have to spend.
Multiply your books by 7, something like that, or backer count by 7, and just be generous, right?
Yeah, I would just be super generous. I always typically, honestly, if I'm for every 100 backers that I have, I usually assume that I'm gonna have to spend $500 or $600 on shipping minimum. That's like the absolute minimum. And so I just use that as a multiplier, and then I usually add another $1,000 on top of that. For shipping, just because things happen. And then once you've got that calculation of how much you're going to have to spend on your book, getting it out to people, then that's when you take a look in the mirror. You take a look at, I mean, frankly, because some of it is like, you might think, well, I do have this much money I can spend, or I'm willing to take on this much debt. And that is a decision that, buddy, you got to make for yourself. Right. Because no one can tell you that that's a good idea. I am definitely not willing to be on record saying it's a good idea to go into debt. I did it.
I did it too, man. It sucks to crawl back out of it. It does.
Yeah, it does. And frankly, I think if I hadn't done it, I don't think I'd be where I am today because
Same.
I didn't take those risks.
Again, guys, we're not telling you to follow our footsteps. We're trying to get to the point where you're not following in our footsteps. You're better than we are.
Right. So, but once you have that estimate and it's an honest estimate, don't forget to add in 10% for what Kickstarter is going to take out.
They don't take 10%, I believe, but just plan for 10%. Because
they take 5% and then they take anywhere from 3% to 5%. For credit card fees based on each individual transaction, based on the credit card that the person is using.
And so, you have to also consider dropped backers as well.
You have to consider dropped backers. So you basically got to make that estimate and then add a buffer onto it. But that's not the amount necessarily that you should set the goal for. It should be based on your reach, what you think you're going to be able to make. If you go on BackerKit, this is, you know, again, our only sponsor is Bad Ideas, but
and it probably ever will be.
If you go on BackerKit, even if you don't pay for any BackerKit services and you kind of set up, like import your project, and BackerKit has some really robust tools that will tell you, like, based on what, like, you put in, how, what's your reach? Like, if you have a mailing list, how many people are on your mailing list, or how many people have backed previous projects? What's your goal? You know, and things like that. And they'll tell you, like, whether or not they think it's realistic based on their internal calculations that they have. And so it's like, you know, you kind of, but you got to make that decision. Maybe I do my calculations and I figure out it's going to cost me $7,000 to fulfill a campaign.
Right.
And I'm thinking, well, that feels like a high number. So why don't I set the goal at 5,000? Because if necessary, I can eat $2,000. Now that,
so,
that
yeah, no,
just
that
depends on what your position is right now. Like,
granted,
like,
yeah,
what
like
kind
you said,
of money you have, what kind of debt you're willing to go into.
So this is what I think this is the first time I'll ever say this on this episode, so you guys heard it here. This is what I think will actually be helpful advice. I think you can set your goal, like even something like that, right? Let's say $7,000, right, is what it takes for you to just even break even on your comic book after shipping and ordering and all this stuff. Like Caleb said earlier in the show, you have an imaginary goal that you need to hit, and that's your $7,000, right? I think a potentially good way to do that is to set your goal, we'll say $3,000. I don't know. But then $3,000 or $4,000, but then have stretch goals that lead up to that point, if not past it. So I think that might be some okay advice, right?
So that way
you can kind of have your bar.
I'm going to temper your advice, though, by saying that when you're offering stretch goals, be really sure.
Right.
That they're not going to cost so much that it offsets.
Yes. Yeah. Don't do anything crazy like stickers and magnets. Those are like so easy to produce.
Yeah. People, for whatever reason, people love prints. They love stickers. They love bookmarks.
Mm-hmm.
And
those are very low cost to you.
Especially if you can use art you've already paid for.
Yeah. I've done that before. I've just taken, snippets of art from the books, and you can just turn them into a card.
For sure. And so. Yeah. Yeah, stuff like that. But yeah, and you, when you set a goal, if you succeed at, like, as long as you reach the goal, you're always going to get a little higher than the goal.
Because, like, the last 48 hours of the campaign too is, yeah, also the big one.
Even if you're like limping across the finish line and you barely get there, typically you're going to get a little bit above the goal because there's always going to be backers that come in at the last minute.
Yeah, and I do want to tell everyone too, we will be doing an episode later. This will be kind of a spiritual successor to this episode. It is going to be when to launch, and we are going to talk about, pre-launch, follower count, stuff like that, how it translates. So that is also going to be, I think, good to use in conjunction with this.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's funny because we always said when we started this podcast that we weren't going to really be able to offer concrete advice, or that, you know, wasn't really like evidence-based or anything. And I feel like this might be the wishy-washiest episode that we've done so far.
Yeah.
Because, but I think that if we were to boil it down into sort of a too long, did not listen, what I would say is that you need to set a goal that is going to put you within spitting distance of what your actual expenses are going to be. But you need to be realistic,
mm-hmm,
about what you're going to have to spend. The worst possible fate is that you set a goal too low because you're worried about not being able to hit a higher goal, and then,
yep,
you don't have enough money to fulfill your project. And because, you know, like Alan and I went into debt, but we were in the fortunate position of being middle class white guys with good credit scores.
Credit card. Yeah, this episode's also brought to you by credit cards.
Yeah. So I'm just, I mean, you know, there have been times in my life where I could not have gotten $2,000 in credit card charges approved.
Mm-hmm.
And it so happens that when I started my Kickstarter journey, I could. Not that it was a good idea to do that, but not everyone is in that position and not everyone has extra money laying around. And so I think that being your, especially if you're doing your first project, you really need to do your math to figure out how much it's going to cost. Set your goal close enough that if you don't quite make the amount you need, that you're going to be able to cover it. And just be realistic. Have a small scale project for your first project. And you know.
Yeah, we're getting to the 30 minute mark. I do also want to say this, you know, even if you hit your goal and it's not where you want it to be, follow through with your commitment.
Oh, 100%. If you if your Kickstarter funds, even if you don't have the amount of money that you were hoping you were going to have, unless you are just going to abandon the pursuit of Kickstarter altogether and never go back.
Yeah, because believe me, it will be met with wrath and fury, right?
Yeah, because if you don't, if your Kickstarter gets funded, you have to follow through, even if it takes you a long time.
Yeah, just communicate. And now that is also another episode that we have scheduled as well. Yeah.
So be prepared for that. When you're setting your goal, just keep in mind that you have to follow through, because if you don't follow through and then later you try to go back to Kickstarter, people remember and it's not going to go well for you. So make sure that you're able to follow through. And if you finish a Kickstarter and you don't have the money to follow through with it, you know, like Alan said, we'll do a whole episode about this, but communicate.
Yeah.
And just, you know, now that I'm thinking about it, there was a project that I backed, and I'm not going to name names, but there was a project that I backed years ago, a comic book project by somebody I knew. And it was like a big, fancy hardcover thing, collection of a comic that I was really excited about. And the creator ended up not having enough money to fulfill it by a long shot for some very legitimate reasons. And then communicated for a while, but then fell off the face of the earth. And it's been 5 years now, and I don't think it's ever going to come.
I don't think it's coming.
And he hasn't. This particular creator hasn't started another Kickstarter. And I think he hasn't done that because he knows that he wouldn't get support.
Yeah.
You know, he kind of burned that bridge. And so you got to be careful. Audience trust. I mean, that's another whole episode we could do is audience trust. And you got to be careful. You got to follow through. So, you know, set your goal with the expectation that you're going to have to follow through, be realistic. And that's the best advice we can offer, because, you know, like I said, we are not going to tell you to go into debt. Like,
right. And again, like Caleb said earlier, know your reach, know what you can try to do to be funded within potentially the first 72 hours. Right.
That's ideal.
That is ideal. So that way you can celebrate and just be in that let's go mindset that whole time, rather than feeling like you're forced to promote your book. You're forced to do this because you haven't made that goal yet. So just go in knowing that and just be prepared to celebrate. And we want to hear about your successes too.
Oh, yeah. So if you have stories about either things that you've screwed up, like in setting your goal too high or too low, or you just have successes, maybe.
Or give us advice. We need it too.
if you've got advice for us, or what I would love to hear about is great successes on Kickstarter. If you recently had your first ever Kickstarter successfully funded, or you're about to launch your first Kickstarter and you want to talk to us about it, send us an email, crowdblunders@gmail.com. That's crowdblunders with an S at the end @gmail.com. Any stories, advice, criticisms, if you just want to yell at us, we will read all of it. We'll respond to it, and we might even feature it on the show. But until then, I mean, until next time, this has been Caleb and Alan, and we will see you guys next week.
See ya.